Oh, God. I blame Jesse Leakin for this. Blog Talk Radio. Give me 1 second here. Hey, Robert's on the line, boy. Robbie. All right, Beeb, you ready to go?
Yeah.
My man Beeb was born ready, son. Headed. It's first show of the new year, no? No, it's not.
Yeah.
Is
no,
it?
Second.
Second show.
No.
Hey, you know what? We'll act like it's our first.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Errol Spence and Yordanis Ugas. The fight has been approved by the WBA. When can you expect to see the fight? We'll tell you about it. Also, too, AB lands himself in the train wreck of the week. Not Antonio Brown. I'm talking about RAB, Adrian Broner. He hasn't been there in a while. He's there now. But first, we're going to get started with Shoba. Actually, you know what? First, we're going to go to the former champ, Montel Griffin. Montel, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on, bro?
What's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good, good. So listen, man, we read the book, The Ice Life. TheIceLifeBook.com is where you can pick it up. For those of you who don't know who Montel Griffin is, let me give you a quick synopsis of who this guy is right here. This is a former WBC light heavyweight champion. He is the first man to beat Roy Jones Jr., former Olympian. I believe it was the 92 Olympics.
That's correct.
Yeah,
correct.
In Barcelona.
He fought a who's who in boxing and beat a who's who in boxing. He fought names like Roy Jones, Antonio Tarver, Glenn Johnson, Darius Mikulski, Jeremy Williams, James Toney, and just about anybody else you could think of.
Glenn Johnson, Antonio Tarver, everybody.
Those are big hitters, my man.
Went overseas when a lot of the guys in his era wouldn't do it. And
nobody.
Over and did it.
Nobody was going overseas to
we
fight Darius.
For that.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
I also got to give you credit for another thing. This is the first book that I've read in about, I want to say, 10 years, man. So reading is fun. Reading is fundamental, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It was a great book, man. It was a good read. It was a lot of fun. It was funny. You're a funny guy, man.
I try to make people laugh. Feel comfortable.
Let me ask you this, because there's a lot of references to sex in this book. So there were times when I was getting a little confused. I didn't know if I was reading a book or if I was reading a Hustler magazine, right?
Oh, stop it, Beeb.
What did your wives think of all this? If they read the book, I'm assuming. What did they think of all this, these sexual escapades in this book?
I went through a crazy time in my life, man. I was 15 years old, man. I was with an older woman, man. It kind of threw me off track for a while. You know what I'm saying? That was my first. I told my ex-wife after we got divorced, I explained to her what happened and why I was the way I was, and she understood. So, I mean, it's the past. Nothing you can do about it.
So is that because at a young age you were with an older woman and you felt as though that kind of influenced you moving forward in your life with sex? And
yeah,
you kind of,
yeah, it threw
you
me
did,
off. Threw
you didn't
me
have
off.
An understand. You didn't have a grasp of what sex, like the understanding of it, basically.
Yeah, it was nuts, man. It was nuts. She was like 7, 8 years older than me. I was 15 years old.
Okay. Because it was like, you know, you would say something like, yeah, you know, I went to McDonald's and I ordered a Big Mac and I had sex with the girl at the register. It's like, it was like, shit was crazy. You know what I mean? But,
hey,
I was laughing.
Hey, I had a lot of fun times. I agree with that.
You can say that again, man. I'm reading that book. I'm like, my God, this guy's like Wilt Chamberlain, you know? I'm like...
You know what another crazy thing, and you know, you hear people talk about this, like Andre Wood, for instance, would say, yeah, you know, we gotta keep winning because it affects our paycheck. You fought Roy Jones, you made $2 million, and then you lost the fight, obviously, but after that, your very next fight, you made $25,000. That is a crazy decrease in pay. How did that happen?
That's crazy. That's how the game is, man. It's unorganized. You know what I'm saying? There's no guaranteed contract, no nothing. I went from $2 million to $25,000, and I was feeling bad until Chris Berg told me he went from $2 million to $15,000. And I was like, oh my god, he's the heavyweight champion of the world.
Let me ask you a question now. You seem to get the short end of the stick in a lot of these contracts and a lot of these fights. Like you said, you went from $2 million to $25,000, and, you know, you were fighting Wood. If Al Haymon offered you, what, $3,000 for the one fight I read? You know, didn't you have, like, a manager to help you with all this, like, to help you out with these contracts?
Al Haymon was supposed to be my manager. he was supposed to be looking out for
me. Now, was he your manager, like, through your entire career? Was he your manager, like, through your whole career?
I worked with John Tabor, you know, with Al Haymon.
Gotcha.
Let me ask you this about Al Haymon, because everyone praises Al Haymon, says he's this, that, he takes care of the fighters, but it didn't seem like your relationship was the greatest. Talk to me about Al Haymon. When you were dealing with them, what is your impression of Al Haymon as a manager?
Well, I worked with Al Haymon when he first got in the business. I was his third fighter.
Yeah, Vernon Forrest was the first. Yeah.
He turned Vasily Kirov off of me. So I was his third fighter. He wasn't Al Haymon that he is today.
I got
you. If he was Al Haymon that he was today, he would have been better. But I was at the start off process.
So he didn't have the juice at that time that he has now, obviously.
No,
it wasn't even close.
You know, people were against him because they like, who is this guy to come to me, you know, and I've been trying to take over. So they was against me.
Let me ask you another question about, like, the 92 Olympics. Was that the first year that they went back to that computer scoring for the fights? Because they had the computer scoring for the fights in the Olympics at that time, right?
It's starting to be kind of tough. You know, I can't be out of
I think it's your connection.
Yeah.
But was that...
Here, I'll tell you what. Let me do this. Do me a favor. Log out and log back in. Montel, would you do me a favor? Log out and log back in, and we can continue, because a lot of times it's just a bad connection. All right. So he's going to log out, and he's going to log back in. A lot of interesting stuff, man. A lot of things I want to ask him. How amazing is it he's one of Al Haymon's first clients? He had Vasily Giroff, and he had him. Montel. And, like, nothing like he is now. And even back then, Al Haymon was saying, hey, listen, you want the fight or you don't want the fight for $3,000. You know, and, I mean, this is a former world champion. You know, you think that he's making crazy jack. He made a reference to Oscar De La Hoya. He made a reference to Oscar De La Hoya in that book, that he was making, like, $1 million, you know, but Shelley Finkel told him because he lost, he couldn't make as much money. You know, he wasn't going to make anywhere near the money. All right, you're back. All right, I got a question for you here. And so talk about the fight with Eric Harding. You lost the fight. Why did you lose the fight? What did Dan Goosen say to you later on?
Okay, now the crazy part about this Eric Harding fight, I was supposed to fight Derek Harmon.
Yeah?
Derek Harmon was a Goosen fighter. So I fought Eric Harding. And I mean, Stevie won it. Ray Charles told me that I won the fight. But I didn't get to the end. And I ended up signing with Dan Goosen a few years later. This was the actual conversation I had with Dan. And I said, that's crazy. Because Eric Harding fight, I ain't even said, well, you know what? He said, you win my fight at the time. I couldn't take care of you. I had to take care of my fight. So that sums it up right there. I know the game, I know the business, and it is what it is. He don't want me to win. So at the time, I wasn't his fighter, and I would've, I ended up beating the fight anyway. So he wasn't going to look out for me. So, you know, I know I didn't lose that fight.
Let, Let me ask you a question about the 92 Olympics. Was that the first year that they went to the computer scoring? And what were your thoughts about that, the computer scoring? How did that affect?
Yeah, 92, the 92 Olympics was the first one with computer scoring, so we were guinea pigs.
Yeah. Do you feel as though that affected how you were being judged in that Olympics? And do you think that was a major factor in you not advancing and going farther in the competition?
Of course. I mean, I was hitting the man. I'm going to just say it like this. The punch that I landed that cut it out, they gave it to him. They gave the point to him. So they show you how crazy scoring was. So I lost the fight 6-4, right? I lost the fight 6-4. They gave them a punch when I cut it out, and they took 3 points from me because they said my hand was low. But I'm back. I 76-5, so.
But because you're so short, when you duck down and bend, your head's going to be below these guys' waist, but that's not your fault because you're just short.
Like I said, they wanted to make sure he won the fight, so they took 3 points away from him. So that's basically what happened.
Yeah, and if that was scored based on clean, effective punching instead of the this quantity of punches, then you
right.
Probably would have got the nod.
I'm 5'7", he's 6'5", I was jabbing the whole fight.
Yeah, yeah. So that was interesting because that was a fight that if we were to just score that, as if we were to score it in the pro format, then it would have been hard to not give that fight to you because of the punches that you landed were definitely causing more damage. You staggered him, you hurt him, and he didn't appear to really hurt you in that fight.
Crazy. First of all, his eye was cut. The
fight should have
been stopped. I
cut
it out, he was
bleeding
like a pig.
The fight should have
been stopped. They
robbed
me of my gold medal, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Shame.
Montel, let me ask you a question, and I want you to come clean on it, because I don't think you came clean on the book on it. All right, I want to ask you a serious question here, and I want an honest answer, because I know you're an honest guy. Your friend, Larry Musgrove, the guy that worked at Paramount Pictures, right? He set you up with a star that you had a crush on. Who was the star? You never mentioned the star's name in the book.
Wait a minute, you say he set me up? No.
He said,
had a crush on her, what?
You said in the book that he set you up with a star that you had a crush on.
Yeah.
Who was it?
I can never.
Oh, come on. We don't know. I mean, maybe you just went on a date with her. I don't know. You just hung out and went to the movies.
I can't do that, man. He's still right now. He's still being. I would never disrespect like that.
Well, you're not really disrespecting her. You went out with her.
I can't.
Oh, that's cold-blooded, man.
I can't, man. Hey,
I wore the Southside shirt for you and everything, man. I wore the Southside shirt for you and everything, man. That's cold.
Someone in the
Chicago.
What's that? Snitches in Chicago.
There's a gentleman in the chat, Maestro Boxing. He wants to ask you, what is your three top Midwest fighters of all time?
The top Midwest fighter of all time?
The three top Midwest fighters of all time.
Floyd Mayweather. Tommy Hearns, not really from Detroit, but you want to say he's from Detroit.
Yeah, I would say Tommy
Hearns. Floyd Mayweather, and
what about Sugar Ray Robinson? You going to throw him in there?
And possibly Aaron Price.
Okay.
Cincinnati, son.
Cincinnati,
right. Baby.
Sugar Ray Robinson wasn't born in Detroit either. Sugar Ray Robinson.
Oh, he was born in New York. That's right. Yeah. That's right. He was born in New York.
Yeah.
That's a good. That's true.
No. Ray Robinson wasn't born in New York either.
Oh, North Carolina?
He was born in New York.
Oh, okay. He was from the South. I think he was born in either South Carolina or North Carolina, and then he moved to New York. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You're right. You know your history.
He's history, man. Montel is history, baby. He is the former WBC champ, Montel Griffin. Go ahead.
And talk about that time when you met Roy Jones for the first time and you were playing basketball with him. Did you know back then that eventually you guys would fight, or did that even cross your mind?
I actually at that time in 1988 I was in boxing, so I was so upset with the gag. I was so upset I wasn't boxing. I really didn't watch the Olympics. Only watched three fights I saw. I watched Roy's fight, Ray Mercer's fight, and Andrew Manning's fight. It's Rob, and that was 88. And then 91, I saw him at the National Club. And they was like, man, that's a kid right there. So, you know what I'm saying? He saw me fight James Jeremy Williams at the National Club, and I got robbed. And he said, bro, he said, man, you won that fight. I know how you feel. Just keep your head up and keep going. I couldn't believe that when Roy Jones told me that. Then I played him in one of, we played against each other in basketball, and then I ended up fighting him. That was crazy.
Yeah. Now, talk about your relationship with Muhammad Ali, because you met Muhammad Ali when you were, like, just a small child. And how did he take to you like that? And you also mentioned in the book that a lot of people were in his camp that were kind of hard on you. Were they jealous that they, like, people in Ali's camp kind of jealous? They didn't want to see other people get attention from Ali? What was that all about?
No, it was just one guy. Oh, wait, no, you know what? No, it was Dean Kilroy and Lana Sabathia. Lana Sabathia, too. You know what? I think people didn't think I deserved to be at the gym and hang around Ali like that. I was a small kid. Because I was able to train with him. I was able to hang with him. Like, all the kids at the camp hated me because I was the only one able to go to the gym and train. So they couldn't, you know, they couldn't come in, so... It was just a great experience, man, to be around Muhammad Ali. I met him at 5 years old. I was around until I was almost 13. I went to two of the training camps. I hung out with him and I came and trained my father. It was just a great experience.
Let me ask you a question about that first Roy Jones fight. Okay, the first Roy Jones fight, when he got disqualified, he hit you twice. Do you think that was done on purpose?
Yeah, he was frustrated. I mean, I was beating him.
Yeah.
I was getting on his skin. He got frustrated, and he hurt me. I messed up. He threw a right hand, and I told myself, you need to flip it or roll with it. I mean, I'm sorry, block it or roll with it. And I told him to roll with it. He hit me in the back of the head, and I was a little dizzy. So I just took a step back. I told myself, I said, look, you won in this fight. Just take a lead and win the last three rounds. And I look up to catch the referee, count it, and the man hit me twice, and he loaded up the second time, which is dirty, and he get a pass for it. That's what I don't think, and I think that's crazy.
I think so, too. I thought you were winning that first fight. I really did. I thought you gave him all he can handle. No one ever seen, you know, Roy Jones was flying through everybody back then, and, you know, when he ran into you, I thought he was losing that fight.
That's what he really did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, let's talk about the James Toney fights, because you sparred with James Toney years before that you fought him. How much of an effect did that have? Did you realize when you were sparring him that, you know, I got this guy's number, and how much confidence did that give you going into both of those fights? Because I think you're the only man to beat James Toney twice.
I beat him twice. Yeah, that was the only reason I took the fight. We sparred in 92. I was an amateur. He was a two-time world champion, and we sparred. It was tip attack. He really couldn't do nothing to me. And he admitted to it. And I got a phone call 3 years later, and I talked to myself. I said, look, I sparred him 3 years ago. I was an amateur. I know I'm better now, and I know he didn't get no better. But I think I could beat him, and that's why I took the fight.
Yeah. Did you think a lot of the problems he had with his conditioning, were you aware of that? Like, was he like that early on in his career, or was that something that happened later?
That's not my concern. I can't worry about if he's in shape or not. We signed a contract on a certain day, and if he had to kill himself to make weight, that's on him. I ain't got nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
I'm a professional. I always made weight, and I was always in shape.
Gotcha.
Why did you leave Eddie Futch during that second fight? How much of a raise did he actually want that you said, no, I'm not going to do that?
Why did I what?
Why did you leave Eddie Futch in the –
he wanted a raise. He wanted more money. And I just felt it wasn't fair because Phil Torrance work with me more. I love Eddie Fudge. I'm glad what he did for me, and I appreciate him. But, you know, Sal Torrance worked with me and spent a lot of time with me. And it was like, you know, as you know, once I started winning and got big and Eddie won in the race, I just didn't think it was fair.
Gotcha.
But, you know, it is just crazy because, you know, I got rusty in the second fight. I wouldn't have to warm up. And my wife had made a comment, you know, like, Eddie Fudge wouldn't have let that happen. So it is what it is. I mean, you know, you can't, everything can't go your way. You know what I'm saying? It's a cold world. Life ain't fair. And it is what it is.
One thing I have to say after reading the book is two qualities that you showed me from reading this book that you had was – you took accountability for everything you did. You never really blamed anyone else. So I give you a ton of credit for that. That's a great quality to have. And you had self-awareness. You would say, you know, I had a problem with
sex addiction. It's true, man. It is what it is.
Yeah. And you said you had a problem with sex addiction. You said you had an alcohol problem. So I have to commend you for, you know, never playing the victim in this book. You never blamed anyone. You took things as they came. And do you think because of that, you know, that kept you focused in your career because you knew that, you know, this is on me, not on anyone else. This is on me. And that's the reason why I believe you were so successful. Is that a fair assessment of your career?
I mean, it is what it is. It's totally true. But at everything.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, there's no need to make no excuses. The truth is the truth. I gave my all, I got robbed, I got BS, I got stabbed in the back of Latin boxing. It kind of took a little edge off of me. I tried my best, man, but you know what I'm saying? I got a lot of raw deals in boxing. It is what it is, man. I tried my best, but, you know, everybody can't be a star, I guess.
Montel Griffith, thank you so much for coming on. If you want to get a copy of Montel's book, The Ice Life, go to theicelifebook.com. And you can purchase one there. I'm telling you what, it is a really good read. It's a fast read, and it's just entertaining. It's just all around entertaining. Montel, thank you so much for coming on, man. We appreciate it. I think he's froze. Oh,
he's back.
All right, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, brother.
Good stuff. Tough connection there, but we heard all of his. I mean, we heard his answers, but
yeah,
we got the gist of it, right?
Yeah,
good stuff, man. Good stuff, man. He was back in his day a terror. I mean, he's that guy that you didn't want to fight because you didn't. He was a lot of risk. You know what I mean? He was a lot of risk. He was a good fighter. He was a good defensive fighter. He could hit you and not get hit. He was just an all around. He was a mess for a guy to fight, you know.
Yeah.
A guy like Jones who was running through everybody. And I saw Nacho's comment in the chat saying he never beat him. He did beat him. Roy was frustrated in that first fight. I mean, listen, you win by DQ, you win the fight. It is what it is. That guy was frustrated. He was completely frustrated. I would have been interested, and I don't know if we can get him on Box Rec or not. What were the scores in that fight leading up to that DQ?
I think he was up on one card, and mm-hmm. I'll pull him up for you right now because I was looking at the scores. Let's just take a look real quick because the fight was very close. And I remember listening to the HBO commentators, and they were saying that they felt as though he was up. I think Harold Letterman had him up too. Let me just double check here.
Yeah, I thought HBO had him up. Maybe one judge had him up. But again, it was good. But Roy Jones was HBO's guy. You know, that's their house fighter.
Yeah, so one judge had him up. Another judge had him down by a point, and another judge had him down by 2 points.
Yeah, that was unheard of. That was unheard of.
Now the fans had him winning the fight. Let me see. One, they gave him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He was winning. He won six. The fans had him winning 6 of the 8 rounds before the 9th round occurred.
Yeah, so there was a. I mean, like I said, I remember that fight, and I remember him just completely frustrated him. He completely frustrated him.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think I gave him the first three rounds. Then I gave I think I gave him the first four rounds, and then I gave Jones the fifth and the seventh I gave him. And, yeah, I had it 6-2 in his favor before that incident happened in the ninth. So, you know, he got knocked down. That would have been a 10-8 round. So he still would have been up. And there was, and I think there was three rounds to go. So who knows what would have happened in those three rounds. But he was definitely up in the fight at that time before the disqualification occurred. So,
what do you make of him not answering the question about the starlet he dated? Come on.
Well,
you know, I think if in his book, he wouldn't have been so forthcoming saying that he, you know, slept with X amount of women, because then you expect him to say, hey, I slept with this chick. You know, it could have been they just had dinner. Who knows? But, yeah, man, I was really want to know. He would never – don't bring it up. Like, he wrote it down. That was my one complaint in the book. Like, there was two, because I said – he said, talk about the Eric Harding fight. Why did you lose that fight? Because he didn't admit that in the book, that that was his guy at the time. And then the other one was about the Larry Musgrove, about the star he set him up with.
Yeah.
You know. You wrote a book, man. Just let us know, man. Like TMZ over here, Beeb.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
Want to know everything, man.
That's right.
But sometimes you can't tell everyone, you know, you can't tell everyone everything, man.
Is that going to be the sequel? Is that going to be the sequel to Ice Life 2?
You got to leave something to the imagination of the people.
It was Halle Berry?
Not everybody knows all the honey dips the Beeb's been with.
You think it was Halle Berry? I should have started throwing names out there. You think it was Halle Berry?
No, it can't be Halle Berry.
I think it was Halle Berry. I think it was Halle Berry.
You know, you took a shot at the Beeb because you know that's the Beeb's girl.
Just saying.
You know that's the Beeb's girl.
I just saying. Maybe it was Lois. Maybe it was Lois.
Whoa!
Or you took a stab at her, huh?
You know what I was going to ask him? I said, because he had such an issue with you know, such a sex addiction. I was going to ask him, did he have any relationships with women like that were attractive that on just a friendship basis? You know what I mean? Because people like that, that, you know, anytime they meet an attractive woman, they can't help but want to have sex with them. You know, so
is that any guy?
It's just, yeah, but a lot of times, like, you can be professional about it. Like, Lois is a very attractive woman here at Beeb Industries. She's my administrative assistant here at Beeb Industries.
She's
very attractive.
Beeb?
Enough. And we have a very professional relationship. I've never hit on her once. When we go out for coffees or whatever, we do Dutch. So it's just strictly professional. Just letting you know that.
How do you fit her in your car? I mean, isn't she hard to bend because she's plastic?
Enough, please. For the sake of the company, we keep it professional.
For the sake of the company. For the sake of Beeb Industries, we keep it professional.
Right.
All right, let's get to some boxing here. Showtime. Let's see here. Their Showbox card. Listen, I'm not really – I'll be honest. I'll be totally honest, man. I'm not really into the Showbox cards. I'm just not. It depends. Sometimes there's good fights. I mean, they're usually, like, good prospects and everything like that, and sometimes there's good fights on there. Like that I want to tune in and see. But typically, I don't know who these guys are. This is like the USA type of fights. You know, remember the USA Network on Tuesday night fights? You know, only sometimes they have stars on there. They don't really have any name guys, too many name guys anyway.
Yeah.
Until later on in their careers. A lot of them go pro, or not go pro, a lot of them go on to be champions or whatever, but that is what it is. Luis Nunez versus Carlos Arrieta, 10 rounds lightweights. Nunez scored a 10th round TKO over Carlos Arrieta. And Ale Ismailov versus Israel Duffus? I can't say Duffus because it just sounds, that just seems disrespectful. Although he did get knocked out. So Ismailov wins by a 4th round TKO over Israel Duffus. There you go.
Before I forget, I just want to give Jesse Reekin a shout-out, a.k.a. Jesse Perez, for setting up that interview with Montel Griffin.
wasn't he your nominee for Caller of the Year?
Yeah, he was my nominee for Caller of the Year. Jesse Reekin used to do PR work for me back in the day on the Rope-A-Dope Radio. He used to do PR work for me back in the Rope-A-Dope. He got me Sergio Martinez, Chad Dawson, Miguel Cotto.
I already got your Hercules, too. Did that work?
Please.
What I heard, I'm just saying what I heard, man.
Shout out to Jesse Rieken. Shout out to Jesse Rieken, a.k.a. Jesse Perez, man. He's a good PR person.
He's a good guy. He's a lousy rapper, but he's a good guy.
Come on. Please.
Oh, sorry. All right, let's go to the phones here. Ringside Robert 530, the real caller of the year.
Hello,
Robert.
Guys.
What's popping?
That was a very good interview. I wish the connection was better, but a very good interview, guys. Eric,
We all wish the connection was better.
Yeah.
We all wish the connection, but it wasn't.
Okay,
he's
all
got
right.
cricket or something like that. Listen, I don't know what he's got. You know, we roll the dice and we take our chances. Sometimes he's got a good phone.
Yeah,
sometimes he ain't got a good phone.
All right.
Sometimes he's in the back alley talking.
What do you want us to do? Send the guests complimentary phones and cameras and shit.
We can't even
get you on camera, for Christ's sake. You've been on this. You were on this show for freaking 5 years. We couldn't get you.
Yeah,
on camera.
Everybody in the chat,
calm
hit
down,
the motherfucking
guys.
Like button.
Yeah, dude, calm
yeah.
down.
Well,
yeah.
Talk.
Anyway,
audio.
Yeah. Anyway, Eric, I've always been a big fan of the Showbox cars, but I've got to tell you, on Friday, those fights really weren't worth watching, to be honest with you. And I could very seldom ever say that about the Showbox series because normally I don't know who the matchmaker is there, but normally they do a good job of matching people. But these guys. They weren't very interesting fights at all, so what a terrible start for them. And I don't know what's going on with Steve Farhood, but I guess he's no longer going to be on camera there anymore, which kind of sucks. So
Why?
What happened?
Well, because they got this guy, Brian Campbell, taking his place, and Steve is going to be doing the school. I don't know. But they had Barry Tompkins, Brian Campbell, and Rafael Marquez.
Let me tell you what, Steve Farhood had it coming to him. From what I understand, over Showtime made a lot of people angry.
I didn't know that. But I guess he's going to be remotely doing the scoring and not on camera anymore. So I don't know. But
why?
No, I don't know.
I already had COVID or something.
Yeah.
Get to the bottom of this, Robert.
Yeah.
You call yourself
a journalist, Robert? Come on.
Yeah, if you're gonna talk about something,
yeah,
you get to the nitty gritty, man.
Right.
Get to the nitty gritty of it, man. Don't just like
get out of
the story,
Joe,
bro.
No,
yeah, she just dumps a story
Joe,
off.
Wrong. You're telling a terrible
off.
Story.
Joe,
this is
nobody, BS. Nobody. Hey, nobody printed any articles, so I couldn't find anything on it, or I would have. Come on.
Let's get Stephen Espinosa on the phone.
Why don't you write an article about it? You figure it out.
Yeah, that's a good point, Robert.
Please.
That's a real good point.
I don't have you on that one. I don't have press credentials. I can't do that kind of thing, you know?
What are you talking about? You're affiliated with us.
You're
not a press credential.
Ringside reporter formerly.
Yeah.
That's on your resume.
Come on, man.
You can carry that around
so
with
money,
the rest
doesn't
of
even
your
know.
Life.
Right.
What's
your confidence,
you were a correspondent for Ringside Reporter.
You're the caller of the year.
Yeah, I know that, guys.
Put your shoulders back. Pop your chest out. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Hopefully you mean something today. Who's better than you know?
You used to represent this brand. Represent this brand with pride.
Right.
Hey, that's
so
why. That's
of what you,
that's
on,
one of the reasons why I'm here,
name.
Brother. Come on. Give me a break. But,
Don't start acting tough now. Come on.
I was not happy with what I saw on Friday. I'm looking forward to much better fights, other places. I'm beginning to wonder if Showbox is going to live up to what it used to be, because Friday was not a good start, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I liken it to the Tuesday night fights on USA, the USA Network, I mean, or the ESPN, you know, the ESPN fights that they used to have back in the day on Fridays
the
or whatever.
The old Friday night fights kind of thing, yeah. But,
right.
Yeah,
since
Showtime is supposedly investing in combat sports, you would think they would make sure their product would be top-notch whenever they put it on. Now, I know most of their budget goes to Saturday cards that they do. But if you're going to have this series, you got to put some more meat and muscle behind it because, yes, it's produced, I think, like 85 85 champions overall in the 21 years it's now in existence. So it's been a very good series. You've got to see a lot of good people, at the start of their careers, and they've gone on to be successful. But I was not happy with what I saw on Friday, and they have to improve it because otherwise. You've got to wonder why Showtime is going to continue having this series on. I mean, it's been a great series, and maybe it's maybe Friday is an indication that this year it might run its course. We'll just have to wait and see. But I've always been a big backer of what that series has produced. But Friday was not a good indication of what that series normally has.
Agreed.
You know, so I even texted Beeb yesterday and I said, hey, when is DAZN going to have a fight card? Because that card was so bad on Friday. I'm like, I know ESPN Plus comes on next week with the Joe Smith. That reminds me, I don't even know anything about the guy that Joe Smith is fighting. I guess he's a mandatory. It must be a mandatory.
No, he was supposed to fight. Well, he was supposed to fight Callum Johnson, and then that got scratched.
Okay.
So now he's fighting some late replacement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gerard, maybe?
It's a crazy situation, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, Callum Smith tested positive. I think, didn't he test positive for COVID or something like that? Didn't he come down with COVID?
He did. Yeah. Yes.
Get your vaccine, stupid.
There's a big case going on in Australia about not getting vaccinated. I don't understand people.
Just because you have a vaccine doesn't make you immune to it. My son just got COVID.
Yeah.
He's had COVID for the past couple of days.
The couple people I know were vaccinated got COVID, and they actually got sick.
He didn't get the vaccine.
He had, like, real mild symptoms. Now, I had the booster, and I think we got it at the football game, I'll be honest with you.
Right.
But I didn't get sick at all, but I'm a genetic
Two people that I know got it, and they were kind of in bed for a couple of days, even though they were vaccinated.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the norm, but it does happen.
Absolutely.
I know somebody that was fully vaccinated, and they got COVID, too. So, yeah.
You don't know that.
Stop
trying to be like go along with us because we said it now.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Why don't you get your meat hooks in that Steve Farhood story? You do that.
Yeah, when you come back next week, I want a full explanation on what's going on with Steve Farhood, okay? That's your assignment for next week,
You know what? You can dream on because I got no way to get a hold of him.
Dream on?
Wow.
Is that the way you talk to the Lebanese prince?
Dream on, brother, dream on.
The Lebanese prince.
What's the matter? You can dish it out, but you don't want to get it back. Is that it?
No, that's how it works. You got it now. Now you're learning.
Come on,
now
baby.
You're learning.
You're going to dish it out. You better expect to get something back, brother.
Yeah, Beeb. All right, Robert, we're going to get rolling. Stay on the line for us.
Okay.
Area code 443. 443, you're live.
How's it going? Can you hear me?
How's it going? Who are we talking to? Yes, who are we talking to?
Troy.
Troy?
Troy.
All right.
Troy, how you doing, brother?
Good. You caught me right in the middle of making some sweet potato fries.
Ooh.
Oh, you're making sweet potato pies? Oh, my God.
All right.
Fries, yeah, man. They're much more healthy.
Oh, fries.
Fries. I like fries, too.
I'll take the prize.
That was a good interview, man. Very good interview. Only man to ever beat James Toney.
Thank you, brother.
Twice and Roy Jones, huh?
Yeah.
Right?
I actually
tuned in late. Did you ask him the question about did Roy Jones slap him in the face before the fight?
Oh no! Was that a rumor?
Yeah.
There was a tussle. It was in his book. There was a tussle. Yeah.
Yeah, before the second fight, and Roy Jones walked up to him and he slapped him in his face.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There was a tussle before the weigh-in. Yeah, he referred to that in his book. Yeah, he referred to that.
It wasn't at the weigh-in. It was at a basketball gym. Okay? He walked into the basketball gym where he knew that he was. He went and found him out. Roy went and looked for him, found him, found that he was at a basketball court, and popped old boy in the face, from my understanding, right?
Was it?
I wanted to find out if that's true.
But I also, I also read in the book that.
No, I didn't answer that question.
I didn't know about that.
Man, you know, you're slipping on your pimping, baby. You're slipping on your pimping.
You know what's funny though? They must have been cool after that, because Montel Griffin opened up a gym and he invited Roy Jones to the gym, and Roy Jones came down and hung out with him. So.
A lot of people showed up for that too.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh? So he's still cool with him, I guess. And I guess
I guess
him and James Tony went at it. I think.
Have you heard?
Would you say?
Heard
have
what?
You heard? And White pretty much, well, I'm not going to say White pretty much is going to agree to the fight if the arbitration falls through, which basically is going to fall through. So he's going to accept the 20%, and it's going to be on like popcorn, baby.
Well, they're going to do a couple of, I guess it's delayed for a couple of days because he's trying to appeal it. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. You know, he does deserve more than 20%. I get that.
What?
But, you know, the rules are the rules, so.
I can't tell a man what he deserves in his own business. Just like I can't tell you what you deserve doing what you do. So it's not my place to say
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I mean, I always
but at,
get, I
but
always
at
get
some point
when I hear that statement, like, who are we as these couch potato fans to say, he don't deserve it. Really? Who are we to say that? Who would you say
if
that?
He can negotiate, if he can negotiate it, he deserves it.
I always say you deserve what you're able to negotiate. That's correct, Eric. I agree with you.
Because
he could fight someone else. He could fight someone else, but it wouldn't make sense.
Well, he wants to fight Francis Ngannou.
He would fight Robert Hellenius or maybe Andrew Ruiz. He would fight one of those guys if he had to, but
I don't mind the Andrew Ruiz fight.
I would still rather the White fight.
Andy Ruiz, listen, Andy Ruiz's 15 minutes of fame is over. He blew.
He blew it, son.
It's over. He had his chance. He had his chance to be great.
I mean, you could argue.
When he went to the buffet table and all he did was eat, at past tense, 888.
It was a birthday party.
He blew it, son. Huh?
It was at a birthday party, wasn't it?
Honestly,
I mean, it was a lot of birthdays.
You know, he must have. He actually looked like he went to many birthday parties when he came into that ring.
It was a lot of birthdays. Got a big family.
He has a big gut.
He had a big appetite, and he lied to the people, and he showed them pictures about him being in shape. The pictures probably were from 1999 or something.
High school pitchers.
Pretty much. So he blew it, son. He blew it. So let me ask you this. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this, Troy. Who you picking? You picking White or you picking Fury?
You already know who I'm picking. Always
you picking Dillian.
Always
oh, no way.
Oh,
you kill. This fight is such a mismatch, too. This fight's a complete mismatch.
How is it a mismatch?
If it happens, is a complete mismatch.
Okay, break it down to me, sir. Break it down so it can forever be broken.
He loves
it. He's going to be on the end of that long jab all night long. He's not going to be able to lay a glove on Fury. He's too wild.
Oh my
he's not going to be able to beat Fury, son.
Yeah, he's been a big head movement. Can I ask you a question? Of course you can.
Besides the guy from Georgia and a guy named Chisora, who has Tyson Fury ever really just handled in the ring like that? Who?
Klitschko.
And
handle Klitschko, son.
Who has
Klitschko.
Ever walked through
handle
Klitschko?
Klitschko.
Who has ever walked through? No, he didn't. He didn't handle Klitschko. He just made it ugly. Who was Dillian White?
He handled Klitschko. That was a unanimous decision.
Ever walked through Dillian White?
He walked through.
You don't think Joshua kind of walked through him towards the end of that fight?
Joshua
no.
walked completely through that guy.
Towards the end
you
of the fight.
What
no?
I mean? Okay. Hear me out real quick. Tyson Wilder 2. He walked through Wilder. Joshua,
yes.
Joshua did do that to White in the first fight. They were both young, and they were both, you know, inexperienced
yeah.
and reckless. And Joshua was just a better fighter. Anybody can see that.
Yeah.
Anybody.
I guess the way I'm going to answer your question is no one's ever done that to White. But what I can say to you also is this: when you put two guys at a high level, very rarely does one guy walk over the other guy. It's usually a somewhat competitive fight, right? You don't see
many
guys.
Right, but you can't think that White's going to get walked over. You and your partner there said that he's going to walk through White.
There's different ways.
He's going to walk through White. Yeah, he's going
to
walk through White.
There's different ways to lose a fight and be dominated. You don't have to be walked through to be dominated. You can be thoroughly outboxed. You know what I mean? So I think that in the beginning. Say again?
Okay, listen. You're doing a lot of lip service. Why don't you just give the bullet points on how he's going to walk through him? That's all I'm asking.
Told you.
I think.
His jab. He's a better boxer. He's a better mover. Does he have more power? I think it's arguable. They're both heavyweights. They can put
puncher.
Each other away.
When did Fury become a puncher?
I don't know. He looked like knocked out Wilder a couple of times.
Yes, Wilder and who else?
And you know what? Not to mention,
he stopped Chisora.
Yeah,
he TKO'd Chisora. Yeah. So did
yeah.
David
That's
Haynes.
A knockout.
So did Klitschko.
Stoppage.
No,
yeah.
It's a TKO. Technical knockout.
I think
the only
Fury,
one to knock him unconscious.
I think Fury. I'll be honest with you. I think Fury has a respectable right hand. I don't think he's a big left hook knockout artist. I think he's got some
how come he couldn't
real,
how come he couldn't stop
some,
Boyd in? What's the guy's name that White was supposed to fight but his shoulder got hurt? What's the guy's name?
Oh, Otto Wallin?
Yeah, he hit Otto Wallin with everything. Everything but the kitchen sink and he's just
Yeah, he hurt Otto Wallin at the end of the fight. Yeah.
I guess so, after hitting him 1,000 times.
Do you think Vitaly is a big puncher? Vitaly Klitschko?
No, I
do. You think
not.
Vitaly Klitschko
no,
is a big
not.
Puncher?
No, absolutely not. I just think that Deontay White could never take a punch. I mean, at least not from a big puncher. That's why he never fought any big punchers, ever.
Let me ask you this. D-Style makes a great point. He says White got knocked out by Bevekin. How did that happen?
He got knocked out
because
cold, too.
Because he's a brilliant fighter. He could punch, and he's a brilliant fighter, and he caught him with a good uppercut. We mean how it happened. You clearly saw the fight. There was a brilliant setup, and then he dropped that uppercut. Boom! And White was asleep.
Oh, I know how it happened. I want to hear your interpretation of how it happened. That's why I just gave it to you.
I just gave. He jabbed. He stepped over, and then he came back with the uppercut. Just that simple. And White was
and
open
Povetkin,
for it.
Povetkin knocked him silly. What do you think he's going to do to Tyson Fury?
Tyson
Povetkin
Fury has the advantage here because here's the advantage Tyson Fury has. Versatility.
Okay.
He has more ways to win. He can box from the outside. He can box from the mid-range. He can box from the inside. He's a counter puncher, right?
He had that
he has
versatility
great.
From Steve Collins. And, you know, how did he win that fight? He leaned on him and
Steve
he got
Cunningham,
dropped by
not,
the cruiserweight.
Steve Cunningham,
yes,
not Steve
yes.
Collins.
Steve
Collins
Cunningham.
Is a super middleweight.
Yeah.
I know who Stevie Collins is because he fought Mike McCollum and lost. So, but my point is
that you love your Mike McCollum, don't you?
When he fought the six.
You know who sparred Mike McCollum? Montel Griffin. Montel Griffin spot. That's how we got Eddie Fuss to train him.
That's wonderful. But let's stick to the topic at hand. Fury had all those tools against Stevie Cunningham. Hold on. He had all those tools against Steve Cunningham, and he still got dropped by a much smaller man.
Yeah.
And he didn't beat him with his versatility and his boxing. He leaned his big ass on him and wore him out.
That's a facet of his versatility.
Let me tell you this.
He can get grimy when he has to get grimy. This is what it's about.
Stop it.
Let me tell you this.
Stop it.
Never bet on a loser when you can bet on a winner. Tyson
That's
Fury hasn't lost. He can't even spell lose, son.
Well,
Tyson
Fury
is going to destroy him.
Because Fury's only fought DeSora, Cunningham, Klitschko, and White. Can you name anybody else he's fought of note? Then it was that great uppercut that he landed on himself. Couldn't even knock himself down.
Has Dillian White ever been champion, world champion? There you go.
Huh? Yes, he's beat world champion. We've had a conversation before. He's beat world champion. Yes, he has. Thank you very much.
Has he been the world champion?
He will be after he beats Fury.
He will be the world champion.
How are you going to be the world champion when they keep messing with you at the WBC? After he knocks out Fury, please don't shut your show down because I'm coming back with a nice T-shirt that says, I told you that, so. It's going to be nice in big words. I told you so. Okay?
Robbie just texted me. Robbie just texted me. He said that Dillian White is going to get destroyed by Tyson Fury.
Huh?
Eric, put a poll in there, man. Who's going to win, Dillian White or Tyson Fury?
Listen.
Let me do that.
Yeah, go ahead and put a poll in. All right, Troy, we're going to get running here. We got another call. So we're going to get running. Thank you so much for your call. Troy's always got good calls. All right, Tony Boswell, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. He says, much respect to Ringside Reporter and salute the chat. Stopped in to show support and hit the like button. 100% salute. Thank you so much. I thought he was. D-Sal said he was offered the AJ fight again. I thought he was, too.
He priced himself out of the AJ fight. And guess what? And I already talked about this, and Maestro and myself talked about this. Shout out to Maestro. Shout out to D-Sal. He turned down the AJ fight, and ironically enough, Eddie Hearn offered him $5 million for that fight. So it was okay for Eddie Hearn to offer him $5 million, but it's not okay for Bob Arum to offer him $5.5 million. And the big difference there was that fight was in the UK. It would have been huge. That was when Joshua was huge at that time. He's popular, had four belts. Tyson Fury has one belt. So, you know, he got offered less. And when is Anthony Joshua ever offered somebody 45%? When Anthony Joshua fought Andy Ruiz in the second fight, Andy Ruiz got like 17%, and he was the champion. So and people can sit there and say, oh, Andy Ruiz is a nobody. But the highest pay-per-view ever in boxing in the UK is Andy Ruiz, Anthony Joshua 2. Did more pay-per-view buys than Joshua Klitschko. So it has the record. So he didn't. Again, it doesn't matter what a fighter does before. It matters when you put two guys together, the story of the fight, what that story of the fight can generate and what get people interested and what people think about that particular event. It's not about what this guy did or what that guy did. It's about putting two guys together and how these two guys mesh together to make a great event. And there was a lot of backstory there. Could Joshua redeem himself? Is Andy Ruiz a one-hit wonder? People wanted to know. That's why they bought the pay-per-view in the UK.
I agree.
Go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry.
All right, Beeb. Exciting news across from our friends at Manscaped. They just launched their fourth-generation performance package. The ultimate package includes the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, 4.0. Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming, have done it again to make your grooming game next level. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the new performance package 4.0. by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code RingsideReporter right there on your screen. RingsideReporter, one word. The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and, man, was it worth the wait. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose and hair trimmer, Crop Preserver deodorant, and Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, which are great, by the way, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is insane, and I dare say the best trimmer ever. Their fourth-generation trimmer features cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch, and can engage a travel lock and gives you the ability to turn on the 4,000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof, too? If you thought that was good, you want to take your grooming game even further. The performance package also includes the Weed Whacker. The Weed Whacker is waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor powered 360-degree rotary dual blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks and snags. Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, their Crop Preserver deodorant for before and after leaving the house, and the Crop Reviver for a mid-game check. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts for their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER at manscaped.com. There you go, guys. Guys, and really, if you want to help us out here, we always ask you for likes and everything like that, but when you guys purchase from Manscaped and you use the code RINGSIDEREPORTER, it really, really helps us out. You have no idea. It really helps us out. So if you're listening and, you know, you're into that kind of stuff, hey, man, just they've got tons of products over there. Go and check them out and, you know, help us out, man. Help a brother out, you know. There you go. All right, Maestro, thank you so much. He said grab your pack using the code. It was well worth the purchase. Also, the split to the poll is 82 to 18, and I'm assuming that's for Fury. There you go. Thank you so much, Maestro. All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-1-1-1 to be overseas.
Okay,
you're live.
How are you guys doing? This is Oscar. So I don't understand all this talk about Tyson Fury, right? Why he don't fight Dillian White, get him out of the way, and then see if he could go into with Hergovich. Hergovich is sitting on the sideline. Nobody wants to fight him.
They want to fight him. He's the mandatory. Ooh. He's the mandatory for Dillian White is the mandatory for Tyson Fury. There's a purse bid. It's going to go to purse bid in a couple of days. The split is 80-20. Dillian White is trying to appeal that. So that's the big sticking point right now.
Yeah, but the point
they're
is
following
that
the WBC rules.
There's a lot of fighters that want to fight. Like right now, like this guy, he's stuck in Germany, right? They don't want to give him a visa, right? So how come Mahmoud Charlo don't bring a guy like Hergovich to Germany and fight there? How come you don't fight Ajay Caballel? You know, I don't understand what's the issue with that. And then this guy, Charles Bryan, is getting all these compliments from Don King, but he's not fighting anybody. He's going to fight some guy that's just got moved up to the rankings of number 10 on the WBA instead of fighting a guy like DuBois, Joe Joyce, all these other guys. You understand? I don't understand this thing with the heavyweight division. Like, this guy's sitting on the sidelines for years. Like, Dillian White's been there for, like, 3 or 4 years already. He's number one ranked.
He should get a shot, and I hope he takes a shot. I hope the money gets sorted out or whatever, and he takes a shot. But the 80-20 rule, I don't like the 80-20 rule, but that is the rule. 80-20
is the
WBC rule.
That's boxing. If they give the guy 20%. They get the guy 20%.
I wouldn't worry about it, Suleimani. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if he takes the 20%, right, or less, you know, and he manages to beat him, I think he got a good skill asset. I think this guy, in those two fights with Wilder, he took a lot of punishment. He changed his style to win those fights. He stopped boxing. I think his skills have deteriorated as a heavyweight. He's just slugging right now. He changed his style with that guy with Sugar Hill. So I think if Dillian White could just pump his jab, boxing move, he's much more agile than Tyson Fury. I mean, let's go back to the basics. They say Larry Holmes was saying that these heavyweights now, if he was fighting right now, he would beat all of them because he was much more agile, much more talented. These guys don't know how to punch right. You were saying in the other boxing show that you had last week that the newer fighters are heavier, bigger, they hit harder, but those other guys have better skill assets than the boxers today. For example, Willie the Wisp, Willie Pep, he had 62 wins before he got his first loss, and that was why a non-title fight decision to Sam Yang got, right? These guys were having enormous amount of fights, and they weren't getting the wear and tear like today because they were boxing. They were moving more. This guy, Tyson Fury, changed his whole style to be wilder. And he took a lot of punishment in those two fights. I think Dillian White, if he boxes and moves, because Dillian White has a great boxing skill. He beat Lucas Brown. That was a beautiful fight. He beat Joseph Parker. He got a little tired in the last fight, but those are world-class wins that he got. He got a lot of good world-class wins in his resume. His resume compatible to Tyson Fury, I'm pretty sure it's equal or better because he got wins over Alex Povetkin. He got wins over a lot of credible fighters, man. We can't take him lightly. I think that this guy could actually pull an upset. I think that's what he's avoiding. Tyson Fury is avoiding that. Tyson Fury knows that that he could be upset by Dillian White.
He fought Wilder three times. He fought Wilder three times.
Yeah, the first fight,
and you
the
think
first
he's
fight,
Dillian
he fought
White's power.
Listen, man, he fought Wilder three times, right? And in order to beat Wilder the second and the third, to fight Wilder the second and the third time, he had to change his boxing style. In the first fight, he got dropped. He got knocked out, bro. They robbed Wilder that fight. You know that because it was a long count. But then the second fight and the third fight, he changed his boxing style.
Count.
He got himself an American trainer that showed him how to slug more. He's standing more. He's catered now with that new style that he has and all the punishment he took to get beaten by Dillian White. He's not going back to the basics, man. It's true what people are saying. The punishment he took against Wilder, it took a toll on him. He took more punishment in those two fights, those three fights than, So I think Dillian White could actually pull a big upset in this fight. I think also I would like to see a guy like Filip Hrgović get a shot at him because I think Hrgović is fresh. Hrgović is the type of guy that will knock out a guy like Tyson Fury. But he's not getting the opportunity. All I'm hearing is a lot of song and dances all through the boxing world. I mean, there's boxers sitting in their countries, and they're not getting no fights like Mahmoud Shah, Aziz Caballero. All these guys are rejecting Filip Hrgović. Nobody wants to fight him, man. You know, that guy should get – something should happen. Like, he should do a – like if he's ranked number one by the IBF, become the mandatory, or if the guy doesn't want to fight him, Joshua or Usyk, strip him and give him that belt because it's going to be like a Spence. That guy's going to be like a Spence because nobody wants to fight him. You know what I'm saying? And this guy, Mahmoud Chow, once again, he's not going to fight Trevor Bryan. I don't know what's going on with the sanctioning bodies and that in that aspect. I would like to see Mahmoud Chow get a chance, man. He's always training. He's always ready for the fight, and they still don't give him the chance. I don't understand that.
He was going to fight on that January 29th card in Ohio. And something about he couldn't, the visa or something like that, he couldn't get over here. And that's why he was supposed to fight Trevor Bryan.
So if you can't get the visa for the United States, right, and your promoter's giving you a shit, that promoter, Don King, is giving you a shit deal, right, then why you don't fight non-title fights? Why you don't fight non-title fights? He's in Germany. This guy's like Aziz Caballero right there in Germany. There's a whole bunch of guys. There's a Croatian IBF ranked
fighter.
Yeah,
but he promotes Trevor Bryan. He promotes Trevor Bryan. What I'm saying is Char was supposed to fight Trevor Bryan. Char can't get over here. That's why he's not fighting Trevor Bryan.
Okay, so why Char doesn't fight somebody else if he can't get the visa? You know what I'm saying? This is the thing I don't understand, Huh?
I don't know why Char's not fighting. I mean, when's the last time Char fought?
I mean, the last guy he fought was Christopher Lovejoy and knocked him out in two rounds. And Christopher Lovejoy was a bloated was very big, and he got knocked out. That's the last guy he fought. And he got stripped by the title. They even took his champion Emeritus away. So, you know, I don't understand that. You know, like, this guy should be more active, man. Something's going on with that Don King promotion, something. Because
maybe
I don't understand
him not being
how
more active. I mean, why blame Don King for it? I mean, maybe it's Char not being more active. I mean, look
so
at Gary Russell.
Point,
you think he's got promoter problems? I mean, he fights once a year. You know, we're quick to blame the people handling him, but not quick to blame the fighters themselves.
Yeah, because I'm saying that there's tons of guys in Germany that want to fight. I'm pretty sure if he could set up, easily set up a fight with Ajay Caballero. I'm saying Ajay Caballero is in Germany.
Sure.
You know, I would like
but
to
how
see
much
that,
money
you know,
is he
going to
make? You know, it's also a money issue, too, with these guys, you know, so... All right, man, we're going to get rolling here. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Good call, man. Good call, by the way. Listen, man, a couple of things about that. They stripped Mahmoud Char of his title or whatever. I get that. They probably should have stripped him. He wasn't fighting. He wasn't, you know, it is what it is. And this guy says, well, why can't he fight this guy in Germany? Could. Maybe he could. But maybe the money's not right for him. He's a champion. He looks at himself as a champion. He wants that champion money. Maybe that's not his, you know, maybe he wants
to
fight. You know what I mean?
You can't snap your fingers and put these fights together. There's negotiations. Everyone wants to get what they want to get.
Right.
It's not so simple.
It's not easy, man.
As a
fan, you know, we kind of look at it and say, hey, you know, this, and this. You know, I want to see this fight, and this fight. You know, if all things were equal, you know, and yeah, but you know, Beeb and I have been at this for a long time, so we kind of know a lot of the ins, a lot of the outs, and what has to happen, and you guys do as well. You guys know that it's just not that easy to put together, you know.
And also too, you know, the promoters working with networks, and everyone's got to be on the same page. Everybody's got to want it, not just the fighter. Like, the fighter can say, I want to do this, I want to do that. But if not everyone's on the same page with him, if Tyson Fury wants to fight somebody and ESPN says to Bob Arum, no, we don't want to broadcast this fight, then what's Bob Arum going to do? He's got to get an opponent that ESPN wants to see Tyson Fury fight. That's what happens. There's not just one person. It's not the fighter doesn't have the final say on everything. Obviously, he can pull out of a fight. He can turn down a fight. He can ask for more money. If he doesn't get the money he wants, he can say, no, I'm not fighting this guy. But he could also want to fight a guy. The network won't approve the fight. Where does he go to broadcast the fight? So there's a lot of moving parts here.
Tons of moving parts, you know. And as far as Dillian White goes, and as far as Tyson Fury being scared of his power, I mean, give me a break, man. I mean, he just fought Wilder three times.
Fight,
give me a break. That's a, you know,
the fight's gonna end up happening.
I hope so.
I think White will cave in to you know, and he'll take with the, you know, whatever split that they offer him, because he wants to be champion. You know.
516, you're live.
It's Jesse Reacon.
What's up, guys? Jesse Reacon, man. What's going on?
Jesse,
how you doing, Jesse? Thank you for hooking that up for us, brother.
You're the man, Jesse.
Great interview. Yeah, man, I wanted to ask you guys a little nostalgia question here, because me and Brian were talking about Edwin Valero, and he didn't remember him. Like, I wanted to know where you guys think he would rank on pound for pound had he not did, like, a Chris Benoit, you know, the tragic situation that happened.
Oh, he had a ton of potential, bro. He had the potential to be, like, an all-time great, bro. That's how good he was.
He was a bad man, boy.
He was really good.
Yeah, he really was. Didn't he kill his wife or something like that?
Killed his wife.
Wife and kids, I think.
And he ended up killing himself. Killed his wife and kids, and he ended up killing himself in his jail cell. Hung himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
you
I
put
think
a damper on your
like,
history there.
I mean, you know, that's real tragic. But I think he would have been up there with, like, Pacquiao had he continued.
Possible.
Are you guys excited to see Joe Smith Jr. in action this week?
Not really. I would have rather seen him against Callum Johnson.
Right.
So, not really.
It's like COVID is fucking everything up.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
I'm curious to see. I'm hearing that Canelo is going to fight Charlo next. But I'm curious to see if later in the year that Joe Smith may be that second opponent for Canelo. I'm wondering.
What happened to Mac?
But wasn't Canelo supposed to fight the cruiserweight? Wasn't that supposed to happen?
Yeah, what happened to Mac? What did you hear happen?
I'm hearing they're not gonna do that.
Don King screwed that up. Don King screwed up Royal by having this fight on the 29th. I'll tell you that. Any overpriced tickets as well, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
He screwed that whole thing up. And I don't know why. I don't know why he did that. Both those fighters, you know, I think both those fighters are his fighters. Why in the world would you leave that? You know what I mean? Why would you have him fight before he fights Canelo, or, you know, 2 months later? It just doesn't make sense. Just, what are you doing?
Are you going to go to that fight, Eric?
I don't know, man. I was looking at tickets because I wanted to take my son up there, you know. Tickets are ridiculous. I mean, wants $500 for, like, not even ringside seats. It's a small place. And, like, you got to go see the layout. If you haven't seen Packard Music Hall, go see the layout. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
McAboo fights January 29th. The Axiom said he fights in February. He fights January 29th. Tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
And then my last question, you know, I'm a Jake Paul fan. Cop the pay-per-view, cop every pay-per-view he's on. Got your hat. I got Bieber, got your hat t-shirt. If he thinks it's Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., can we put him he's already at a boxer level for a starter. That's impressive. People just don't want to give him that credit. You know, he knocked out Woodley, and then people are saying, oh, the fight was rigged. When you have Teddy Atlas and all these boxing experts saying that knockdown was not rigged at all. And so, you know, that the haters are out, which comes with the territory with Jake Paul, right? Because Jake Paul, people are going to pay the pay-per-view and pay the tickets, and a lot of them are buying it to see him fail. They're going to wait till he's in there with a real boxer. So Julio Cesar Chavez looks like he's going to be the next opponent. If he beats Julio Cesar Chavez, where does he rank in the boxing world? Do they give him credit? Is he a pay-per-view star yet? What do you guys think?
Well, he's a pay-per-view star now.
Right.
If he beats Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., where do we box? You know, where do we put him in the boxing world? Nowhere.
Yeah.
Nowhere. Chavez Jr. is a shot fighter.
Well,
he's a shot fighter.
My opinion of Jake Paul is he is a legitimate lower level professional fighter.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think
he could beat anybody in the top 20.
I don't think he'll ever be an elite world championship level fighter, but I think he could be a decent fighter, a respectable fighter. Could he eventually become a mid-level fighter? Maybe. There's time. He isn't getting better. I don't think he's as bad as everyone says he is. I think he has legitimate skills. He just started late, and he's not I just don't think he's going to – I can't compare him to guys who came up through the amateur system, won golden gloves, won amateur tournaments, national tournaments, fought internationally. I can't compare him to those guys. But I don't think he's as bad as everyone says he is, to be honest.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, man. Have a happy 2022, and I'm going to be tuned in listening to you guys. Thanks, man.
You're the man. All right. Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it. Alvaro Ascona, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. He says, those that remember will tell you that Pacquiao ducked Edwin Valero and Joan Guzman. Great show, guys. Thank you so much. Listen, man, I don't know that story to be true or a fact. Apparently he does. I've never heard that, but I'll be honest with you. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
No
one was banging down the door to fight Edwin Valero.
Aaron Pryor once told me that Chavez Sr. ducked him. So Chavez Sr. didn't want to fight him. So I believe it. You know what? If you say so, I believe it, man. That's Pac Doug Valero. Yeah, Valero. Listen, man, I don't think anybody wanted to fight Valero.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He was a monster in there, man.
He was
a
bad
monster
dude, bro.
In there. Yeah, he was a tough – that's a tough out right there.
That's a tough out, man. That's an out where, you know, you don't just lose. You can get hurt and not come out the same way you went in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's get to the news real quick and then go back to the phones. Let's see here. All right, so actually, you know what? Before we do that, let's go to the schedule. I forgot we didn't even do the schedule yet, so let's go there. Not much coming up this weekend here. Let's see, it's tonight. So the 15th, January 15th on ESPN and ESPN Plus, Joe Smith Jr. versus Steve Giffard, 12 rounds for Smith's WBO light heavyweight title. Abraham Nova versus William Encarnacion is the co-main right there, 10 rounds featherweights. Not a great looking card, but listen, I'll watch the fight. I like Joe Smith Jr. a lot. I'd much rather see him fight Callum Johnson, but it is what it is. So hey, there you go. In Paris on ESPN Plus, Tony Yoka versus Martin Bacole, 10 rounds heavyweights, and that's it for this weekend's action. There you go. Gary Russell, a week after that, fights on the 22nd versus Mark Maxayo. It's going to be a pretty good fight. That's going to be a pretty good fight right there.
A decent fight.
Yeah. So let's see here. All right. Errol Spence versus Yordanis Ugas has been approved by the WBA. Now, the WBA originally denied Ugas' request for a fight with Spence, as they had Imantas Stanois awaiting as a mandatory challenger. Now with Stanoinis, willing to step aside, he's a really good fighter. It's just a hard name to pronounce. WBA President Gilberto Mendoza has confirmed that Spence Ugas is approved because Stanoinis has stepped aside.
Stanios?
Is it Stanios?
Stanios or something like that. It's very hard to pronounce his name, Stanios. I call
Stanionis,
him,
maybe? Stanionis, maybe?
Stanionis. Yeah, Stanionis.
That sounds good.
There you go. Sorry to Mr. Stanionis and his family.
Hey, listen, man, he's a very good fighter. Very good fighter.
Multi-fella promoted fighter, yeah.
And let me tell you what, that wasn't a cakewalk for Ugas. That's for sure.
No.
Obviously, the Spence fight is a bigger money fight for him, but that's no cakewalk.
Yeah, there's no cakewalk.
No cakewalk. Who do you like in that fight, Spence and Ugas?
I like Ugas.
Really?
I do.
Wow.
I think style-wise, it's a very tough fight for Spence. I think Spence moves in straight lines. Ugas, is out of fight in tight circles. He pivots very well, uses a lot of subtle movement. And Ugas is the type of guy who knows how to really slow the pace of the fight down. You know, he's a guy who's got very deceptive timing. You know, he has a way of reading his opponent and figuring his opponent out. Like, in other words, he's really good at threading the needle. If you notice, he makes little subtle adjustments to his punches to get around his opponent's guard. He's a very versatile guy with the wide array of punches he throws, you know. And I thought he beat Porter.
I thought he beat Porter, too.
Yeah, and I liked the way he went to the body on Porter. I liked the way he just mixed it up. He's another guy, too, where he'll touch you. And he doesn't have to land perfectly all the time, but he keeps you occupied because he's just very pecking away with that jab. A lot of times he'll just throw punches just to get you to react so you can create openings. He's just a tough guy to figure out. He's a very crafty fighter.
Yeah, I like Spence big in that fight. Thank you, Nacho. Nacho says that he said Yoka versus Bacole was postponed by the French government because of COVID. Yep, we're back to that time again, man. And I'll tell you what, I said, you know, if you get a shot, you know, talking about the fighters getting shots so this doesn't happen, you can still get COVID, though. I mean, that's, you know, you can still get COVID, so that doesn't stop anything.
No.
So, you know, I mean, maybe they are getting the vaccine and they're just picking it up because they're around so many people doing interviews and this and that. It's tough.
Yeah, there's been some heavily vaccinated nations, instead they're still spiking with COVID cases.
This last one, that Omicron or whatever it is, it just went through here like wildfire, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
It's crazy, too, because a lot of people that didn't get the first variation of the COVID, like I got back in November of, I think, 2021.
You got the Delta, didn't you?
I think it was the Delta. I'm not 100% sure what it was, but it was one of the first variants, right? Now this new variant seems to be hitting the people that the old variant missed.
Yeah.
You know? So it's crazy.
It sucks, man. It sucks. And you know what? We'll never get back to normal. We got to find just a new normal because they're not going to corral this thing anytime soon.
We have to accept that. We have to deal with this.
Yeah, I agree. The Axiom, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. He says, completely agree with Beeb. I think Ugas will do good fighting on the back foot. Ugas' footwork will have Errol stalking. Errol won't be able to cut the ring. There you go.
Errol has very slow – yes, I'm not going to say he has very slow feet, but at this level comparatively, he has slow feet with the upper echelon. He doesn't have the quickest feet in the world. That's why I think he had problems with Porter, because Porter's very quick-footed.
Yeah.
And he moves in straight lines. He's a plotter. He's a stalker, plotter-stalker. But, be an interesting matchup.
All right. Trevor Bryant to defend his title on January 29th. Now, the opponent has not been finalized yet. This is the Don King card in Warren, Ohio on January 29th. McAboo is actually fighting on that card as well. That card, like I said, tickets, ringside tickets were $500. The tickets range from $85 and go all the way up to $500. You know, and I mean, I honestly just think it's too much. I'll be honest with you. I think it's too much to pay. You know, maybe I go there as part of the press or whatever.
I was about to say, I think you can get credentials.
Yeah, I think I could too, but I don't know.
It's up to you, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's up to you, man.
We'll
take care of you.
Beeb Industries will take me, fly me down there and everything.
Yeah. Get you a nice hotel room.
That's right. Hey, this is
buffet.
The buffet. Yeah, that's right. That's what I need.
Golden Corral voucher.
Golden Corral. A Sizzler voucher. Nacho says, isn't Manuel Char suing Don King for his shot? I don't know. I don't know if he is suing him or not, but there was a problem with him getting his there was some kind of problem because he was supposed to be fighting Trevor Bryant. So, but there was some kind of visa issue or something like that. That's what I read. That's, you know, what I heard from DKP. So who knows? They how they are over there. Ryan Garcia may or may not be interested in fighting Isaac Cruz. This is interesting. Sean Gibbons, Isaac Cruz's promoter, says, Oscar, when you're ready to negotiate in good faith, we are happy to discuss giving this fight the platform it deserves on pay-per-view with a legitimate network. Don't you believe Ryan Garcia is ready to become a pay-per-view star? We are very happy to make you a real offer, more than you pay Ryan. Please call me. I am waiting by the phone. Now, Oscar De La Hoya went on social media this week and said that basically he's going to make more money, that Isaac Cruz turned down more money than he made with Tank to fight Ryan Garcia. And typically when you do that, that means a split was like 90-10 or whatever the case may be. I mean, I don't know how much he got paid for, you know, but if he offered him you know what I mean? Ryan Garcia is a pretty big star too. So you figure he should be getting paid. So I don't know, you know.
You know what I heard?
What's that?
And I don't know how true this is. This is a rumor that's going on out there. Isaac Cruz wanted to be guaranteed that if Ryan Garcia pulled out of the fight, that he would get his purse. So he wanted them to guarantee him his purse if Ryan Garcia pulled out of the fight. So the big issue, I believe, it seems, according to these rumors, is Isaac Cruz was not confident that Ryan Garcia would not pull out of the fight. So he was concerned about that because Ryan Garcia has a history. And that's the thing. You know, everyone wants to talk about – this is the thing. Okay, all the Ryan Garcia supporters, they want to say, oh, well, mental health is a serious thing. Okay, it is. Everyone, you know, no one's dismissing that. But life still goes on. You don't make your problems someone else's problems. So if you sign to fight somebody, they have to go through a training camp. They have to pay their team. They have to prepare, take time to train every day, and that training camp costs money. You're affecting other people's lives. So it's not always just about you. It's what your decisions and what you do affects others. So So that's the thing. You can't expect Isak Cruz, knowing this guy's track record, to not be concerned that he may pull out.
I don't mind. And Nacho says that Cruz asked for 50% of his purse if Garcia backed out.
Okay.
I got to be honest. I don't mind that.
No, I don't
he's
mind.
He's pulled out of quite a few fights. And why go through all that trouble if he's going to pull out? You should get something for your trouble.
Yeah.
And if you're so confident in Ryan Garcia, she tells me they're not confident Ryan Garcia is not going to pull out of this
fight. And this is not unprecedented because it's been done before. People, fighters would say, I want to be guaranteed a specific amount, you know, if the guy pulls out.
Right. Yeah, I don't have too much to say about that. I think he's right on. You know.
And everyone's going to be concerned now moving forward with Ryan Garcia because, again, he fucks up people's money. Excuse my French.
He really does. I mean, you know, how many – he's pulled out more than one occasion.
More than one occasion, bro.
You know, and at that point,
Jojo Diaz is the guy that fought all the guys. Shout out to Jojo Diaz because all the guys that Ryan Garcia was supposed to fight, Jojo Diaz fought. You know?
That's right, you know. Let's see here. Joshua and Usyk will rematch in the UK in April. Nothing is finalized yet, but Hearn stated that that's what he's looking at. I imagine it'll be touch and go with the pandemic in full swing again, especially up there in England. They canceled all the January fights, so it's going to be a tough one to make in England.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
It's going to be interesting.
I don't know. You know, you hear reports and everything that the Omicron is going to pass through pretty quick, so hopefully we'll be in and out of that. I don't know, but hopefully, you know, with any luck, man, we can get this thing out of here. Who knows? But yeah, you saw Manny Gatillo.
That's hilarious. You idiot.
All right. DAZN has come out with their first quarter schedule, and let's go over this, Beav, see what you think about it. February 5th, Jesse Vargas, who's running for Senate. Is it Senate or
Congressman?
Congressman
in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas, in Nevada.
Yes.
We're trying to. I tell you this, guys. We're trying to run him down. We are trying. I'm in contact with guys, and we are trying to run this guy down. Now I know his schedule is going to be busy because he's training now for this fight, but we're trying to run him down. Just know that.
When we say run him down, we don't mean we're going to, like, run him over or anything like that. We're trying to catch up to
him. We're not doing this January 6th style. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, we
got to
make that clear because
we
don't want to be taken out of context.
Jesse Vargas versus Liam Smith. There you go. February 12th, Danny Jacobs versus John Ryder. I think that's a good fight. I like that fight. You don't like
that
fight? I like that fight a lot.
I have no problem with that fight at all. I think it would be a great fight.
February 19th, Jaime Munguia versus Demetrius Ballard. I want to see him in a bigger fight. That's a good fight, but I want to see him in a bigger fight. I want to see Munguia in a bigger fight.
Yes.
Lawrence Okolie versus Michael Chislak. Lawrence Okolie, that's going to be a pretty good fight. I don't mind that one. March 5th, the marquee of this fight, Estrada versus Chocolatito 3.
Phenomenal fight.
That's a really good fight, right?
Phenomenal fight.
How many lives does Chocolatito have? Jesus. Insane,
more than I thought he had
I can't. Yeah, after that Rung Vasai fight,
I've taken lives away from the guy, man. But
yeah,
you know,
absolutely. On March 12th, Lee Wood versus Michael Conlan. That's a very good fight, a solid fight right there, man.
Zone's coming out the gate pretty strong. Robbie was asking me about the schedule. So I hope he's watching now.
Michael Conlan, man, that's a good fight here. Where is that? Let's see if I can find out where that's taking place here. It doesn't say, but we'll find out for sure. That's a really, really good fight. Saturday, March 19th, Virgil Ortiz Jr. versus Michael McKinson. I think that's probably a squash match.
Yeah.
March 26th, this one is one I'm waiting for. This is very interesting. Surprised me a little bit, but this is a good one. This is a rematch of their first one. Kiko Martinez versus Josh Warrington 2. That's a good fight.
I'm surprised Warrington didn't move up.
I am too, and it's interesting that he's fighting Kiko Martinez, the guy that beat our guy, can't remember his name right off the hand, but
Kid Galahad. Why did Kid Galahad not get the rematch? Wasn't there a rematch clause, or is Kid Galahad? I
don't know.
I think I misspoke. Kid Galahad's moving up, I believe. I think Kid Galahad's moving up.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
That's why Josh Warrington got the spot. So that's why it happened. Okay.
Nacho says that Wood versus Conlon is taking place in Nottingham. That is solid fight. That is a really, really.
Yeah, so that's why I think Warrington got the fight by default then, yeah.
Some people were dumping on the schedule. Listen, man, some people were dumping on the schedule. Listen, there's no pay-per-views on that schedule, all right, other than DAZN, which you pay for a month.
Listen, if you have a DAZN subscription, you cannot be angry with that schedule.
That's a good schedule, man. I don't mind
that's
that.
That's a solid schedule.
Absolutely. And finally, our train wreck of the week this week belongs to R.A.B., Adrian Browner.
Again.
He's got the most train wrecks of the week ever. Ever.
The history of train wrecks.
That's right. It's the Adrian Browner train wreck of the week. Four division world champion Adrian Browner has started an OnlyFans account.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Stop. AB says he did it because people were leaking compromising photos taken of him.
Okay.
That's why he started an OnlyFans account, Beeb.
All right.
What on earth is he thinking about?
That's interesting.
People were leaking. How did they get the photos? How did they get the photos of them compromised anyway? He was probably leaking them out and getting ready to send them off as Christmas cards.
I have no idea.
Why would you start an OnlyFans account? Like, really? I don't get him, man. I really don't get him. And
That's out of control, bro.
He's completely out of control, right?
Yes.
Adrian Browner of the week. Yeah, Nacho says we should just call it the Adrian Browner of the week. Yeah, just drop train wreck and just say the Adrian Browner of the week is, you know.
That's crazy.
It's insane. Only fans, son. That's where he's going. He said, I'm done with boxing. You know, I'm going to do porn. That's basically what he said.
That's ridiculous.
When the going gets tough do porn. There you go.
That's ridiculous.
Ohio Runs Boxing, hashtag Bandcamp. I love it. Sontero Media, that's right. That's right. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.